Hi, everyone. And again, my name is Lori Stillman. I've worked with the New England Asthma Regional Council, ARC, for the past 10 years. And what I'd like to do is just talk to you about some of the findings that we've had in trying to really improve asthma outcomes in New England. And we basically have two approaches. One is to address the environmental contributors to asthma, but also to spread best practices, particularly dealing with, people who are most at risk. And, I'm sure most of you know the statistics, about 1 in 10 people have asthma. One of the interesting things we did was a recent survey through the BRFSS and looked at how well asthma is controlled in the population, and it was kind of stunning to us to find out that 2 out of 3 cases of all asthma are either poorly or very poorly controlled. But not to anybody's surprise, those people who are low income, African American and Latino populations are at the highest risk, have the highest burden, have the highest cases of hospitalizations, et cetera. So what we wanted to do was to really, when we look at asthma, we look at the 5 P's, providers, patients, purchasers of healthcare, that is like employers, policymakers, and payers. When I say health payers, I'm talking about really insurers. And what I'm going to focus on today is to show you what we found out about payers reimbursing for best practices that support our most vulnerable populations. And the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute, they have an asthma expert panel, and they also have an interesting website on disparities around asthma. And the two areas that they really feel that there needs to be a focus on is providing culturally competent education, both in the clinic and the home, because asthma is a really difficult disease that really requires a lot of patient self-management education in order to do a good job, because people have different kinds of symptoms. They have to know when their symptoms are getting worse. They're usually prescribed multiple kinds of medications that they know how to use. And you can't just do it within a 15-minute visit and tell people what they're supposed to do in order to manage your asthma. But also, the unique thing about this chronic disease is that it has a very clear environmental component. There are allergens that are found in the home and community and schools that can really exacerbate asthma. So that's a really other important area that payers have to start and providers need to pay attention to. So what I want to just do is, what we did at ARC was we sent out a survey to 20 to 45 payers, and we got responses from 25 of them. They came from Medicaid, they came from the Medicaid Managed Care Organizations, from Medicaid fee-for-service organizations, as well as commercial insurers, and we asked them 48 questions that basically matched up what they should be doing, what they should be paying for to support best practices in asthma. And we did a gap analysis to see whether they were reimbursing for evidence-based best practices. And we especially looked at those best practices that would take care of or address disparities issues. And we did this because we felt like it was really important to let insurers know, data is really important in terms of moving policy and action. And if we wanted to get payers to start paying for these things, we need to understand from them what they were paying for and why. I will tell you, what we did was we basically looked at what they were paying for based on the best practices put forward by the CDC, the asthma expert panel, and other published research. I will say that there are some limitations. This was an online survey. Insurers interpret questions very differently. So it's possible that there were, it's not perfect, but it did give us some good information. And you can get the full report and the executive summary at theasthmaregionalcouncil.org. And I just wanted to give you a brief summary of what we found. First of all, and I can't imagine that you're going to find a lot of differences with other chronic diseases, we found complete inconsistencies in terms of what insurers are paying for in terms of best practices for asthma. They not only are inconsistent within payer types, in other words, Medicaid agencies across New England would pay differently, commercial insurers between them would pay differently, but across the different types of insurers, they would pay differently. And so we think that this is really symptomatic of the fact that our payers are lacking alignment of their reimbursement policies with science and national recommendations. This is like a bottom line thing. If we're not going to pay for best practices and allow providers to do the right thing, then the right thing isn't going to get done. And so we called together a forum of payers across New England, and we wanted to present to them what we found, particularly around the issues that would help reduce disparities. And we provided them with the evidence. For instance, patient self-management education improves patient outcomes and can be cost-effective. In fact, it often results in a return on investment. And we did actually a business case for payers that demonstrate that for every dollar that they put in for self-management education, they can get a return of investment of between $5 and $27. So we shared the business case. And here's what we found in our survey was that only about a third of all payers will reimburse for a separate or extended asthma education clinical session. That's pretty sad. So, in other words, they generally don't pay in the clinic for a separate session. For those who do, very few of them will pay for a group session. It's only for an individual visit. Next, we wanted to look at whether they would pay for a variety of providers that have been demonstrated to provide very effective care, particularly non-physician providers. Would they reimburse for asthma, certified asthma educators? Would they provide for reimburse for respiratory therapists? Would they reimburse for community health workers? There are two randomized controlled studies in the literature that showed that community health workers can provide very effective care in the community, again, resulting in a return on investment. And what we found was there was a complete lack of consistency that some payers will pay for a respiratory, of the 13 that would reimburse for asthma education. These are the numbers that would pay. So 8 of 13 would pay for a physician assistant or nurse practitioner. Only 6 would pay for the gold standard, a certified asthma educator. Only 7 would pay for a respiratory therapist. So again, a complete lack of consistency. We did find one Medicaid managed care organization that was willing to pay for the services of a community health worker within a nonprofit organization. We did find that a number of commercial insurers and Medicaid managed care plans did have case managers and certified asthma managers on staff, which was a good thing. But to just have these telephonic interviews with people at high risk, it really doesn't do it for most people. I also want to say that Medicaid managed care plans are really the low-hanging fruit doing the best and most progressive work around this. The fee-for-service Medicaid organizations are doing a terrible job. They pay worse than the commercial insurers when it comes to reimbursing for best practices. The asthma expert panel also said that clinical education services in the home as needed, as well as doing a home assessment and asthma trigger education, can be very cost effective, an important way of reducing disparities. But sure enough, we found that of the 25 health insurers, that 11 of them would not reimburse for any kind of home-based asthma care, either clinical or environmental. 10 of the 25 would reimburse for both. So again, this is such a important linchpin for targeting people who are at most at risk, doing that home-based care, home assessments, home clinical interventions, but less than half will reimburse for it. The CDC reviewed the literature and found that providing actually environmental remediations in the home for particularly asthma patients that show that they have certain allergies, for instance to cockroaches or mice or dust mites, can be very cost effective. But only a third of plans would reimburse for certain environmental remediations, even though that they are shown to be very effective. If they do get reimbursed, they're mostly by Medicaid agencies, and they tend to be for allergy-proof bedding and some air purifiers. But again, it doesn't happen very frequently. Just a couple of other things. We know that high out-of-pocket costs can be a major barrier for people with asthma to fill their asthma medications. And yet, we found that a number of the typical asthma medications to help control or to be used in an emergency were often in Tier 2 and Tier 3 coverage. Tier 1 means that you pay the least out of pocket. Tier 2 and Tier 3 is paying for the most out of pocket. And when people have to have multiple medications and often find numerous people in their own family having asthma, this can be really very costly for people. This one really struck me. I just can't believe that every insurance company wouldn't pay for smoking cessation counseling and FDA-approved medications. In Massachusetts, where Medicaid a couple of years ago did away with all barriers, financial barriers to smoking cessation medications and counseling, they found over 20% reduction in heart attacks amongst people who took advantage of those benefits, a 17% reduction in asthma attacks that ended up landing in the hospital. And yet 24% of payers still do not pay for smoking cessation counseling, and 16% of payers still don't pay for FDA-approved pharmacotherapy. So in conclusion, I really think that asthma is sort of can be a case study for how to do provide good care that addresses not only the social determinants of health, but really preventive-oriented care for a chronic disease. We know what the best practices for asthma are. There's no questions about that. We know that asthma education for patient self-management is really important. It needs to get reimbursed for. We know that home visiting programs that have an environmental component is considered cost-effective and in many cases can be a return on investment. These have to be paid for. We know that a range of providers, non-physician providers, can be very effective, including community health workers. We have to figure out a way for training and reimbursing for those services as well. We need to get rid of the co-payments that are a barrier for people to get a hold of their medication. We need to offer smoking cessation and nutrition counseling. And we also found that many payers don't even monitor what kinds of illnesses their patients have, and they don't look at disparities in care. Well, if you don't monitor, then you can't fix the problem, and we really are trying to encourage insurers to do that kind of monitoring of outcomes in their patient population. Feel free to visit our website, asthmaregionalcouncil.org. Stacy Chacker is the director. You can reach her by email there. And I wanted to let you know a few of the tools that we have developed, and I brought some copies. Investing in Best Practices for Asthma, a Business Case. This will demonstrate for payers the return on investment they can have by investing in the best practices we talked about. We've also developed Asthma, a Business Case for Employers and Healthcare Purchasers, so that when we try and work with payers and employers, we can show them the business case. And Asthma Regional Council has been very effective in beginning to change some of those policies. And to make life really easy for all of them, with the University of Massachusetts Lowell, we cross-checked all of the best practices that need to get reimbursed by payers and purchasers. So there's an easy checklist here that demonstrates the cost-effective services. Those can be downloaded for free from the Asthma Regional Council. I have some hard copies here with me, and feel free to ask me any questions at the end. Thank you.